Michiana's sports leader, 96.1 FM, WSBT presents Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat.
Booger, up and in! With 2 seconds left, Notre Dame leads!
Malpas again, backhands, he scores!
Down to the corner, Jablonski, three is good!
Andrew steps in, he's going to throw deep for T.Y., he's got it!
Flips to Jenkins, three for the win, it's good! Villanova wins it!
He tied, it is a touchdown! New England wins!
Adios! Cubs win their ninth in a row! Miles Boykin is in the end zone! The Irish have come back!
Your hosts are Eric Hansen and Darren Pritchett.
Pfluger gets it on into Colson. 7-6. Colson still has the ball top of the key. Colson dribbles twice. Colson around a screen. 1. Colson 4. 3.
Off the glass and in! Notre Dame leads! 60-59!
That was Jack Nolan on the call on the Notre Dame Basketball Network, heard on WSBT Radio last night. That deserves a little of this. Hold on.
Big time Uggets!
A little nylon, the little kiss off the glass by Bonzi.
The little spooks.
That's right, Raf. Wow. Did you give up last night? Be honest. Did you give up? Down 21 with 15 minutes to go. The Irish roar back and stun Virginia Tech. 71-65. The Irish are now in the ACC tournament quarterfinals. And the big question is, was that enough? Was that the final piece needed to get into the Field of 68? You know what? It's still, it's borderline. It's borderline at this time. We're going to talk about the tournament. We're going to talk about last night's game. We have a lot to get to on the program. Matt Farrell's brother, Bo, who is seen on TV a lot with his family, he's going to join us for a couple of moments. We have Tyler James joining us at the bottom of this hour to talk Notre Dame football recruiting. The voice of the Irish, Jack Nolan, joins us at 5:45. And today, since Tom Noy is hosting the 6 o'clock hour with me, we did not write a script. We're just going. Tom and I are just going. Now, Eric said he was going to do the show blindfolded.
I'm looking for a blindfold. I will do it blindfolded. I was trying to one-up you guys since you're not doing a script.
Well, we'll see what Tom comes up with. He might just stand on his head the entire show. Well, the Irish, an amazing comeback last night. They end the game on a 34-11 run and beat Virginia Tech 71-65. Matt Farrell, 22 points. Rex Pfluger, 14. TJ Gibbs, 13. Bonzi Colson, 12 points and 7 rebounds, and hit that remarkable shot to put the Irish in front by 1. They go on to win by 6. So, the Irish, are they in the NCAA tournament now? Here is what Mike Bray had to say after the game. This is the head coach of the Fighting Irish.
You know, I've never been a big guy to campaign, but I think we really deserve to be in. And I don't want to hear about one of the best 68. When I have my guys back, we're a top 20 team. And I think people in that committee know that. So I feel strongly that we should be part of it. We have another great opportunity to end all the drama of it tomorrow night, but we need to get some rest.
And that's a great point. They can seal the deal with a win tonight because they're still 1-7 against the RPI top 25, 3-8 against the top 50, 8-10 against the top 100, 8-12 against the top 150. If there's any doubt left in the committee's mind, if Notre Dame wins tonight, I don't want to hear about if, ands, and buts. They have to be into the NCAA tournament. And Mike Bray's right. When this team is healthy, they're a top 20 basketball team. Unfortunately, the committee can't totally look at it that way. They have to look at the resume. But Eric, common sense says this team is one of the best 68 in the country. Bottom line.
I would agree, because even with in the stretch when they were without Bonzi, the 15 games, they were pretty competitive. There were a couple games where they weren't. And one of them was the Duke game, and that was without Farrell, without Bonzi, and without DJ Harvey, all three of them. So,
and then for 32 minutes, they were with Duke and Cameron.
Exactly, without those three.
Correct.
So there's a lot to like. I mean, 14-4 with Bonzi, finally got the math down yesterday, 6-9 without him. He makes a big difference.
Without a doubt. We're joined from Brooklyn, where the Irish will take on Duke tonight in the ACC Tournament quarterfinals by Bo Farrell, the brother of Matt Farrell. He's going to join us for a couple of moments. Bo, it's Darren. Good to talk to you. How are you this evening?
Sir, how you doing?
I'm good. Doing terrific. We thank you for your time. And first off, we want to ask this. Are you still involved with the military?
I am, sir. I'm still currently on active duty.
Absolutely. That's fantastic. We thank you for your service, first and foremost.
I appreciate that. Thank you, sir.
Well, what a night last night. Down 21 with 15 minutes to go. You know, in the ACC tournament, we get to see the Farrell family on TV quite a bit. That's a shot we get quite often. What was your mindset in the second half with the Irish down 21? Were you still believing?
Well, to be honest with you, I had to leave my seat. I had to go acquire an alcoholic beverage, and then I had to kind of step away for a little bit. It was a little frustrating. There's no doubt about it. Usually it's my dad, me, and my mom in our seats. And at the end of the half, my dad looked at me and my mom and said, "You two are switching." Yeah. little superstitious, I guess. But I had to stand at the top of the of our section to watch the first half of the second half. Because it was very frustrating, there's no doubt about it.
Well, Bo, the proper follow-up question is, I had a little fun during the Pittsburgh game because there was a shot while Matt was at the free throw line of your dad just enjoying an ice-cold beverage there in the stands. I don't know if you want to answer this, but was it a multi-beverage night due to the stress level of that game?
Oh, it absolutely was. There's no doubt about it. And we'll tell you right now, we are a drinking family. We love to have a good time. We're standing outside the Barclays Center right now at McMahon's Pub, having a few. And, it's a great, great environment. It's a great feeling. But there's no doubt about it that it is stressful. I had a friend of mine from college that came to the game yesterday. It was funny because he looked at my mother after the game and he said, "You know, I've only sat in the parents' session with you guys for about two or three games over the past 3 years. But I got to tell you, this is one of the most stressful environments I have ever been in."
Bo, this is Eric Hance from the South Bend Tribune. I'm curious how you were able to get away for this stretch, and when do you have to go back to wherever you are stationed right now?
So I'm actually very fortunate right now that it lined up. The assignment that I'm in right now is I'm teaching ROTC at Florida A&M University. So I'm fortunate to be able to have a little bit different schedule than being on the line in the Army, in the regular Army world. So I am able to step away to be able to see this once in a lifetime opportunity to watch my younger brother compete at this level. My supporting my cadre who I work with are nothing but supportive, and it's just been an absolute blessing.
That's fantastic. And Bo, how would you describe the relationship between Matt and Bonzi Colson?
I would probably look at Bonzi as another brother to me. Bonzi and my brother are extremely close. They do everything together. Bonzi came up to our house over the summer, my parents' house in the Jersey Shore. And, Bonzi and my brother, you saw it at the end of the game yesterday. You saw the shot of them hugging. They are just extremely close. They love each other, and they will do anything for each other. And I know that tonight you're going to get 100% out of them, regardless of how they feel.
Bo, I'm curious, how big is your driveway, and what was it like playing horse with your brother?
Playing with my brother growing up?
Yeah.
We played a lot of Nerf basketball from the time that we could walk. Going to all my father's high school practices, it was nothing but basketball, sports year round. I'm not gonna lie, I dunked on my brother a few times, and then he grew, and then I couldn't, and then he beat me a lot, and then I got mad. So then I figured, hey, why not just be more physical? So I kind of, used the elbow game here and there when I could.
Matt Farrell's brother, Bo Farrell, joining us for a couple of moments live from Brooklyn, the Irish and Duke tonight on WSBT Radio. Pregame at 6:40. Opening tip is at 7 o'clock. Putting away emotions for a second, Bo. Talking to Matt, and I don't know if you've talked to him today or not, but what is the feeling around the team? Do they feel like they need to win tonight to get into the NCAA tournament, or do they feel like last night should be enough?
From what I think that right now they're just only focused on this ACC tournament. This senior class has been fortunate to have gone to two ACC finals. In the past 3 years, and that's a heck of an accomplishment. And they're focused right now, just like they were, when the time came in Maui. to go after that hardware. You know, it's another piece of hardware that they would love to bring home. And then, you know, what happens on Selection Sunday happens on Selection Sunday. But I can definitely tell you that they are focused extremely hard in Brooklyn right now.
Bo, when we watch Matt play, there just seems like there's such a mental toughness to him, to his makeup. And I'm curious, has he always been like that? Was there happening, was something happening when you guys grew up that kind of forged that mental toughness?
Yeah, the kid doesn't get rattled, and I will give him that. I will definitely give him that. We're a very physical family. You know, we love to argue. We love to fight. We love to disagree with each other. And there's just something about him that, you know, when something is on the line, whether it's a game or, you know, a decision to make, he maintains his resiliency and, you know, his confidence. And that is probably one of the most where I can say that I'm very proud of him, because he's developed into a leader that I am extremely proud to see on the floor and off the floor.
And the last one from me, Bo, I'm curious how Matt handled being injured. He seems like a guy that you'd almost have to keep in a cage to keep him from running out there with a bad ankle. Well, how do you think he coped with the injury this year?
There's no doubt it was frustrating. You know, he's a guy who never got injured much, you know, in high school and playing in his younger days. He never really got injured much. So to not be able to play for those five games that he couldn't play, it was tough. It was very tough, but I'll never forget the moment where, I can't remember, I believe it was the game after NC State. He was the first, him and Bonzi were the first two to jump off the bench during a timeout to congratulate the players on the floor, you know, doing something. I think Tom Noyes is actually the one that tweeted that, but that's the type of attitude that he has. You know what I mean? Doesn't matter who does it, team mentality first, and let's get it done.
Final question for you, Bo. What do the Irish need to do tonight to beat those darn Duke Blue Devils?
We literally just talked about this with my father in the subway. honestly, we think we got to keep it close to the last 4 or 5 minutes. If we can keep it close, you know, within five, down the wire, I think we got a good shot. You know, I think that we play mistake-free basketball. We don't give them second-chance opportunities. I think we're going to be okay. You know, this is a very beatable team, much like anybody in the ACC. And it's Brooklyn. Anything can happen in Brooklyn.
That's exactly right. Well, Bo, it was a great moment last year when you surprised Matt at Purcell Pavilion, and it's been great to watch your family through the years at Notre Dame. And hopefully we got a lot more basketball yet to come. I have a feeling that's going to be the case. But good luck to you and your family tonight in Brooklyn as the Irish take on the Duke Blue Devils. And again, thank you so much for your service, and have a great time at the Barclays Center tonight.
Gentlemen, thank you very much, and go Irish.
Go Irish. There you go. From Brooklyn, Matt's brother, Bo Farrell, joining us here on 96.1 WSBT. Again, pregame coverage of Notre Dame and Duke starts at 6:40. The opening tip is set for 7 o'clock. Does Jack Nolan have a voice yet after last night's game? It got a little raspy there maybe at a time or two, but I'm sure he's going to be ready to go, and he'll warm up the pipes at 5:45. He's going to join us live from Brooklyn to offer his thoughts on the win last night, look ahead to Duke, and get his opinion on Notre Dame, where they stand right now on the NCAA tournament bubble. Our thanks to Bo Farrell for joining us. We'll take a quick timeout. We've got plenty more to get to, including Tyler James with a football recruiting update in about 11 minutes. Budweiser's weekday sports be brought to you by Budweiser. Great times are waiting. Grab some Buds. And by the Notre Dame hockey team. The Fighting Irish will host Penn State in the Big Ten Conference Tournament semifinals Saturday night. Get your tickets at UND.com.
The Leprechaun Lunch with former Irish quarterback Evan Sharpley and WSBT Radio's Sean Stiers. Friday at noon on 96.1 FM WSBT.
Sean is not going to be on the program tomorrow, taking a day off. I'm going to be hosting with Evan tomorrow. And I just found out, besides talking Notre Dame basketball, Notre Dame football, and Notre Dame hockey with Evan, we will be giving away a pair of tickets to go see Alice Cooper in concert.
Wow.
Next Thursday at the Morris. So we'll give away those tickets during the Leprechaun Lunch. Tomorrow, noon to 1, 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. If you watch college basketball on ESPN, Seth Greenberg, former Virginia Tech head basketball coach, a studio analyst, he's going to join us on Sports Beat tomorrow to talk about the Fighting Irish.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he was going to join Alice Cooper on stage.
No, he's not. Okay. I don't believe he will be a part of the show. Now, right. If he wants to have a snake around his neck, come on down. You're the next contestant on the Alice Cooper concert stage. He's Eric Hansen, the Fighting Irish football insider for the South Bend Tribune. I'm Darren Pritchett. We thank you for joining us. Sports Beat today brought to you by Budweiser and the Notre Dame hockey team. It is 5:25. Really short segment because we have to get to Tyler James in just a couple of moments. The Irish with that incredible come-from-behind win to beat Virginia Tech 71-65. The Irish are 20-13, but in the tournament committee's eyes, they are 19-13. One win is taken away because they beat a non-Division I school. That was Chaminade over in Maui earlier this year. So they are 19-13. And again, some of the numbers, their RPI, which apparently the committee doesn't look at, is 64. Their strength of schedule is 54. And against the RPI top 25, Notre Dame is only 1-7. Against the top 50, they're only 3-8. Against the top 100, they're only 8-10. And against the top 150, they're only 8-12. But the Colson Farrell injuries are heavily on the minds of the selection committee, and that might be the difference in getting the Irish into the tournament. I think perception maybe overtakes all the analytics that they use to decide the field of 68. Notre Dame is an extremely unique case. We have Golic and Wingo now on WSBT Radio from 5 to 10 each weekday morning. And this was a conversation between Notre Dame alum Mike Golic and Mr. Bracketology Joe Lenardi. The subject, of course, the Fighting Irish.
Joe, come on, man, with Bonzi Colson back. What are they now, 13-4, 14-4? One of the top 15 teams, maybe in the country, 20 teams. So just so I know, are you saying they have to beat Duke to get in, or a good showing can get them in?
I think a good showing can get them in. If I were in the room, I'd have them in already under the simple common sense logic that, as you said, this is, at worst, a top 20 team, maybe close to a top 10 team with Bonzi. And I go back to how they were evaluated with Bonzi prior to his injury. And at one point, coming out of Maui and into pre-conference, they got as high as a 2 seed. I don't know how you can evaluate them as a non-tournament team with this roster. I just have to factor in what I believe the committee will do relative to all of the other moving parts in all of the other leagues.
Joe Lenardi has Notre Dame as basically team number 70 right now. In the first four out category, they are the second team. I think for teams that are on the bubble, they'll listen to this conversation and say, hogwash, you got to look at the hard numbers. You can't go by gut feelings on how good a team is. And I get that. I would totally understand if we were in the opposite situation, if we were a bubble team and this team A has this All-American player that's been out and this is their resume, you can't just judge it on, well, they're probably this good. But you know what? Common sense does say this is one of the best 68 teams in the country. Mike Bray said, we are a top 20 team when healthy. I'm not going to necessarily go all the way there because in 40 of the last 60 minutes, they have not played great basketball. The second half of the Pittsburgh game, the first half of Virginia Tech, they played extremely well in the second half against Virginia Tech. But we have to be fair and say 40 of the last 60 minutes, this has not looked like a tournament team. But I think it's the perception of what Bonzi can be for this team will get them over the hump. I think they're going to be in the field. And again, I'll understand some bubble teams maybe being ticked off because some of the analytics show that this may not be a team that should be in the field, even though you got to factor in the injuries.
One thing that helps Notre Dame's case a little bit, the team directly ahead of them in Joe Lenardi's rankings, Oklahoma State, lost to Kansas today, 82-68.
We'll see if that affects Oklahoma State and their standing in bracketology. We'll come back and hear from Tyler James. We have a lot to get to with Notre Dame football recruiting, including first chance for Tyler on the program to talk about the decommitment of 2019 quarterback Cade McNamara. Why did this happen? Who might be next? Answers coming up. Sports be brought to you by Budweiser and Notre Dame Hockey on 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader.
Budweiser's weekday sports beat continues on 96.1 FM, WSBT, with the NDInsider.com recruiting update. Here's Darren Pritchett, Eric Hansen, and the South Bend Tribune's Fighting Irish football recruiting insider, Tyler James.
We interrupt this NCAA tournament bubble talk for the latest in Fighting Irish football recruiting. Tyler James ready to go with another NDInsider.com recruiting update, and we begin with news from a few days ago. 2019 Notre Dame quarterback commitment Cade McNamara decided to decommit. Now, recently, he had picked up offers from Georgia and Alabama, so he is now off the 2019 radar. Tyler, let's begin by talking about Cade McNamara. Why do you think he left the class? And I'm just curious, do you think it had anything to do with the fact that there's a high-end quarterback that signed in the 2018 class that's sure getting a lot of pub that could be the future very quickly at Notre Dame?
Yeah, Cade hasn't really come out and offered any specific reasons to reporters. He told Brennan Green of News 4 out in Nevada that over the course of the past couple of months, some things have been said, some things haven't been done. Notre Dame just isn't the best fit for me. So kind of vague there, although it seems to be hinting at something but not necessarily explaining anything. I think it's kind of easy to understand that he would be interested in the recent offers he got. In addition to Georgia, Alabama, USC, and Michigan had offered him in this offseason. And I know it would seem to make sense that he could be worried about Phil Jurkovic and maybe not being able to have a quick path of playing time with him being a year ahead of him in the program. But Phil was already committed and in the class before Cade McNamara committed, so I don't know how Notre Dame is supposed to handle that necessarily. I think nothing really changed. I think the only thing that maybe has changed since Cade committed was Brandon Wimbush not necessarily having a great season at quarterback for Notre Dame this past year. So I think maybe that played a little bit of a role, opened the door for criticism from other coaches, some of those other schools are saying, hey, look, you're going to go to Notre Dame and be behind Phil Jurkovic, maybe not have a chance to develop as you'd like to, and maybe he started to think about what those other schools could offer him. So I think it kind of was just a storm of all those different things that came together. I'd like to maybe nail Cade down on more of an explanation, but sometimes you don't always get great explanations from these high school recruits. It's a bit of a feeling, and they are high schoolers, so they act on a whim sometimes. But I don't know what Notre Dame could have done here, but maybe they could learn. Obviously, Tommy Reese is not an experienced recruiter, so maybe he's learned from this process of how to be to better handle this. And I think they should be in a decent spot still to go ahead and try to find another quarterback. At least they have time. It's only March. They have time to get another quarterback in this class.
Tyler, from a pure talent standpoint, who would maybe, in terms of current Notre Dame quarterbacks or recent Notre Dame quarterbacks, who would Cade compare to, do you think?
Well, it's kind of funny. When Cade first committed to Notre Dame and Notre Dame first targeted him, I think a lot of people were comparing him to an Ian Book, a three-star guy that didn't have a ton of offers and maybe didn't have the prototypical height that you would like from a starting quarterback. But I think over the last 6 months or so, I think that's kind of changed, and more schools have started to like him. And Tom Lemming, I asked Tom Lemming a little bit about this, of what he thought of the 2019 class as a whole in terms of quarterbacks, and he did seem to think that it is a little bit light on quarterbacks, and so there are more schools fighting over quarterbacks that you wouldn't necessarily think going into the process would have these kinds of offers that they do. So I think somewhere between an Ian Book and a Tommy Reese, I think I even wrote that back when Cade McNamara committed, maybe Tommy Reese sees a little bit of himself in Cade McNamara. So he certainly has put up very, very prolific numbers in his high school, and was the Nevada Player of the Year, Gatorade Player of the Year after his junior season. So he was very productive in high school, and it has done a lot of good things. But I don't know that he blew a lot of people away, although it seems like maybe he is blowing people away now with the offers that are coming his way.
Tyler James from the South Bend Tribune with our IndyInsider.com recruiting update. So McNamara out of the equation. Tyler, do you have a list of quarterbacks the Irish might be chasing for a spot in the 2019 class?
Yeah, so I started to do some digging, and it didn't take long that after McNamara committed to find out that in the last couple months, Grant Gunnell, a quarterback, a four-star quarterback that had previously been committed to Texas A&M, and when he broke his commitment to Texas A&M and started to reevaluate his options, he had actually reached out to Notre Dame to see if there was interest there, and obviously at that point, Cade McNamara was still committed to Notre Dame, so there wasn't really any sort of recruitment to pursue there, but now that Notre Dame is looking for a quarterback again, I expect perhaps a visit to happen for Grant. He's a 6'6", 207-pound quarterback out of Houston, St. Pius X. He is the number two pro-style quarterback according to 24/7 Sports, the number three according to Rivals. Completed 71% of his passes for 61 with 4,936 yards and 61 touchdowns. So a very, very productive season as a junior. Obviously, you can understand why many schools would be interested in him, and the fact that he kind of checked in with Notre Dame when he was trying to find some more options for himself. You would think that maybe things could start to work out for Notre Dame. Grant was one of the quarterbacks Notre Dame had offered actually before Cade McNamara, but he committed to A&M before coming up for a visit or anything, and maybe Notre Dame will get a second chance with Grant. Paul Tyson is another QB that Indy had offered, but he's the only other guy besides Grant who isn't committed somewhere currently. He's visited twice previously. He's a four-star recruit out of Alabama. His great-grandfather actually is Bear Bryant, so many people think he'll end up at Alabama. He's been to Notre Dame twice, and Notre Dame will probably try to get him back on campus again to see if there's something to work for. The first guy to actually get on campus now is Max Duggan. He's scheduled to be visiting Notre Dame tomorrow on Friday. He doesn't have an offer yet, but that could change. 6'2", 185-pound quarterback out of Council Bluffs, Iowa. And actually, I spoke to Tom Lemming a little bit about him, and he actually compared him sort of a bit to Cade McNamara. So they're pretty similar. If you would kind of pick two guys nationally to compare to each other, those guys are a pretty good match. So maybe Notre Dame likes what it sees in Max when he gets on campus tomorrow and decides to offer. He actually has been on campus before. Some other guys, it was actually kind of interesting when I went back and looked at other guys, Notre Dame actually hosted a lot of these 2019 quarterbacks before at some point last year, either in the summer or even earlier. So a lot of these guys, Graham Mertz is another name to watch. Notre Dame actually visited his school in January, and he was on campus last June. He's a 6'4", 205-pound quarterback out of Kansas. So he has a number of good offers. So those are kind of names to watch. We'll see how this process turns out. Notre Dame hasn't offered any new guys yet, but I would expect that to change the next couple weeks.
Tyler, is there any chance Notre Dame ends up with a better quarterback than Cade McNamara in this process?
I would think so. I mean, most people would say Grant Gunnell would be a better quarterback than Cade McNamara. I think people wonder in terms of fit how Grant Gunnell would be, being that he's a pretty tall, lanky quarterback that doesn't seem to have a lot of running ability, and that isn't necessarily what we've seen a lot of the quarterbacks in Brian Kelly's offenses here at Notre Dame, but maybe that works out there. And a number of these guys are kind of in the same class as Cade McNamara in terms of talent level, production level, and the same caliber of offers as well. So I think Notre Dame could be okay and not necessarily be losing out at the quarterback position by the end of this.
Defensive back Kenyatta Watson is down to Notre Dame and Texas. What are his plans for a final decision?
Yeah, he's got a busy schedule ahead of him. He plans to get on campus at Notre Dame and Texas both each twice with visits in March and April. And then a decision will likely come in May. He was on Notre Dame's campus back in January for a junior day. He's got offers from all kinds of big schools, but decided to focus on Notre Dame and Texas. He was actually previously committed to Florida State and ended that commitment back in January. And so we'll see how those next visits turn out. He plans to make another unofficial visit to Notre Dame later this month and then come back in April for an official visit. So he'll be one of the first April official visitors that Notre Dame's able to host. So we'll see how things play out there. Certainly a defensive back that Notre Dame likes a lot, 6'2", 168 pounds, could probably play either cornerback or safety.
Well, this pipeline to Georgia, at least in terms of getting prospects on campus, seems to be pretty strong. And then Kyle Hamilton, I think he's from Atlanta, isn't he, that's visiting today?
Yeah, that's correct. He is from Marist School in Atlanta. He's 6 foot, 385-pound junior that Notre Dame offered back in February. He's really started to blow up in terms of his offer list. He's added Clemson, Georgia, Michigan, Ohio State, and Stanford. But the recruiting rankings don't necessarily match up. He's the number 77 safety in the class, according to 24/7 Sports, and Rivals doesn't rank him among the top 70 athletes, which is the position they have him designated as. So we'll see who's right on that, whether it's the college coaches or the recruiting analysts. But I think I'm interested to see where Notre Dame stands with him coming out of this visit, what he thinks of Notre Dame, and if Notre Dame thinks as highly of him as some of these schools have that have been offering him.
Tyler, last one from me. It just seems like with the recruiting calendar moved up so much and keeps moving up, it's almost like the recruiting rankings don't kind of line up until after the kids have committed somewhere. It seems like, you know, this is so early because a lot of these kids haven't been evaluated really well, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think so, and I don't know this to be a fact, but I believe it's the case. I don't know that they update the rankings as much when they're only juniors. I think they're pretty steady in their updates by the time it comes to their senior year, but I don't know that they update them as frequently. I want to say the Rivals rankings, they came out in August. That was the first time they actually ranked the 2019 class, and then they recently came out with updates last month. So there's certainly chances that they're not necessarily on the same page as some of these schools, and it's hard to blame them. I mean, the schools are throwing a lot of money into researching who all these guys are and making sure they're ahead of the pack on this. But so it's kind of fascinating to watch how this works out with guys getting all these offers, and they're rated as kind of low three-star recruits and already have offers from the top programs in the country.
Tyler, what should we expect in upcoming editions of the South Bend Tribune, also IndyInsider.com?
Yeah, I'll have some more information on the quarterback visiting tomorrow, and I'm actually working on a story for football purposes on Drew Tranquil after he was named a captain the other day.
That's Tyler James joining us every Thursday for the IndyInsider.com recruiting update. Tyler, thank you so much. We will not talk to you next week because we don't have a show, so we will talk to you soon. How about that?
That works for me.
All right, thanks, Tyler. We appreciate it.
All right, see you guys.
Tyler James with the latest on Fighting Irish football recruiting. White Sox guy, Luis Robert, the Cuban guy, had a grand slam in a White Sox game earlier this week. Watch out for him. He and Eloy coming up together. Quick timeout. We have Jack Nolan from the Barclays Center to talk about Notre Dame and Duke and how the Irish came back last night. That's next on WSBT.
Kluger gets it on into Colson. 7-6. Colson still has the ball top of the key. Colson dribbles twice. Colson around a screen. 1. Colson 4-3.
Off the glass and in! Notre Dame leads 60-59!
You know, I've never been a big guy to campaign, but I think we really deserve to be in. And I don't want to hear about one of the best 68. When I have my guys back, we're a top 20 team. And I think people in that committee know that. So I feel strongly that we should be part of it. We have another great opportunity to end all the drama of it tomorrow night, but we need to get some rest.
Well, there's no question. You beat Duke tonight at the ACC tournament quarterfinals. There will be no bubble talk. There'll be no first four out, next four out. The Irish will squarely be in the tournament. They could be now. We don't know. But it wouldn't hurt to take down the good old Dukies. We've got Jack Nolan joining us from Brooklyn right now, the voice of the Fighting Irish, who had a lot of fun over the last 15 minutes of the game last night as Notre Dame stunned Virginia Tech 71-65, 21 down with 15 minutes to go. Jack, we appreciate you joining us before you have the call tonight at 7 o'clock here on WSBT. And I know a lot of people are looking at the technical foul called against Virginia Tech as a turning point, and I think that's fair. But, Jack, I think the Irish had already started to play a lot better even before that technical foul.
It certainly didn't hurt the Irish, but I don't think that was the turning point. I think they had, as you said, already turned it around, started to make shots. They cranked up their defense. They had slowed down Tech's offense. So, again, that certainly was part of it. And again, I don't think it was a controversial technical foul. He shoved Matt Farrell into the tuba section or whatever that instrument was down there. So, I mean, you can't do that. And, I mean, Mike Bray is really proud of his team. He likes the fact that they played with a bit of a chip on their shoulders last night. They did to Virginia Tech what other teams have always tried to do to Notre Dame with much less success in recent years because the Irish now have an edge. And certainly there are no edgier guys than Bonzi Colson and in particular Matt Farrell.
Jack, in the initial meeting 88-66 that Duke won on January 29th, no Farrell, no Bonzi, no DJ Harvey. What do you feel like is going to be different this time, and who do you feel like, if Notre Dame's playing man, is going to guard Grayson Allen?
If they've got to rotate people probably on Grayson Allen, but I don't think it's going to be just him. I think they might be a little bit more worried about the big guys. TJ Gibbs will start on Grayson Allen. The matchup tonight, though, is the fact, and I didn't realize this, not only is Duke the tallest team in college basketball, they would be the tallest team in the NBA if they played in the NBA. They have an average height of 6'7" and 2/3 of an inch tall, 6'7" and 2/3 of an inch, and they have five guys who are 6'10 or bigger. Three of those guys will be on the floor at the same time for the vast majority of the game. So how do you rebound? You're going to have to shoot over them because one change that Duke has made, this young Duke team is not very good defensively. And so Coach K finally gave up and about a month ago started having them play 2-3 matchup zone. And they have been playing almost all zone in recent weeks. So that opens the door for Notre Dame to shoot over. So the Irish are going to have to shoot very well tonight. If they can do that, I think it's going to be interesting. And they do remember, Duke blew Notre Dame out in the final 12 minutes of that game. For the first 27 minutes, Notre Dame remarkably traded baskets with that Duke team. So the guys who were playing at the time have a sense that they can play with Duke. And I think these guys now are back to feeling invincible. I got to be honest with you. I thought at the end of the first half last night, this team was done. They came out with a little bit of a spark to start the second half, and they ended up falling behind by 21. And, Darren, you've been in there. That's when you start thinking about, well...
The obituary.
You can't hammer them too much. Talk about how good Virginia Tech is doing. Talk about the remarkable season they've had from a intestinal fortitude standpoint, how they battled the whole time. And, you know, Bonzi coming back. Bonzi 1-for-10 in the first half. I've never seen Bonzi miss the shot that he missed in the first half last night. That includes when he first took the floor as a freshman. And then suddenly, it all changed. It's just remarkable. So we'll see. I just talked to Brian Morrison, the head of communications for the ACC. And the ACC is actually actively lobbying that Notre Dame should get in, that they think their body of work is good enough right now. There's a lot of folks that don't. The NCAA doesn't know what the heck to do with Notre Dame because they have never had a potential first-team All-American miss the majority of the regular season and come back right before the tournament. There's no question Notre Dame's a top 20 team as it's currently constructed. So do you judge them on what they are as a team, or do you judge them on the body of work? And the two big warts, obviously, are the losses to Indiana and Ball State. Obviously, Ball State played well. You can't lose to them at home. You know, I kind of wish when people say Indiana's a bad loss. It's a bad loss because they blew a lead. I'm not sure the Indiana program is necessarily that bad. But if you're going to be a top 20 team, you can't lose that game either. And that may ultimately be what comes back to bite them. That and two league games. NC North Carolina at home, which I still think the striped shirts beat them. And the Louisville game where again, there were some controversial calls, but they had plenty of opportunities to win it. And the reason they didn't is Matt Farrell's ankle blew up after the first half, and he had no lift. They had three shots to win that game, and they couldn't do it. So those are the four games that if Notre Dame doesn't get in and they don't win tonight, that keeps them out of the tournament.
Voice of the Irish, Jack Nolan, joining us for a couple of more minutes here. Jack, any concerns? Three games in 3 days for Bonzi Colson and Matt Farrell, more so Bonzi than Matt.
Heck yeah, and four games in eight.
True.
Well, this will be five games in nine if we go back to senior night, then Virginia, and at Virginia the 10-hour trip to get there. But yeah, there's a lot of concern to the point where Coach Gray canceled the shoot-around today. They had the team meeting, they had the film session, and he sent them all back to the rooms to rest up. So there is concern with that, but, you know, it is what it is. That's why you earn the single bye and the double bye. That's the reward you get in the tournament. Duke's going to come in completely fresh. Notre Dame's going to be tired, and they're just going to have to figure it out. But, I mean, Duke has the advantage. I think last I checked, they were a 9.5-point favorite. And I think that's probably accurate. I'm not saying that's how it's going to turn out, but when you look at all of the factors involved, I can see that.
Sure.
Jack, I'm surprised you have a voice after hearing the call of Bonzi's shot. But,
all right. In my defense, and it's ironically, somebody on campus asked me last Wednesday, do you ever worry about losing your voice? You know, what do you do? And I said, well, you know, I try to get enough sleep and stay healthy. And then Saturday it started getting scratchy. And by Sunday I had a full-blown sinus infection.
Oh, gosh.
I guess the positive to that is I've been fighting it all week, and I can get to the point where I can talk normally okay. But when I yell, I tend to squeak. But many people tell me they like the squeaking. And that's what happened on Bonzi's three when he banked it in. And I went up to the, rather than raise the volume and lower the tenor, when I raise the volume with this, Alvin and the Chipmunks come out. I mean, it's got an awful lot of play. I guess ESPN was using it all night. So, hey, it certainly makes it sound exciting, but it was, I've never done a game like that. I mean, it's top five. It's right up there with the five overtime victory over Louisville and winning the ACC championship. It's unique, but it's probably the first time I ever was convinced in my heart that Notre Dame was done, and they came back to win a game, and it's the biggest comeback in program history. It's just a remarkable win, and I think it puts a bow on the season. Regardless of what happens tonight, I think fans, I know I will look back very fondly on this season, regardless of what happens the rest of the year.
Well, I think my dream call for you, Jack, and it'll never happen, is Yogi Ferrell and Matt Ferrell going against each other.
All right. That
was, oh, boy. All right. I'd probably have to just go, Yogi's got it, drives by Matt. That's the only way you'd have to do it, I guess.
Right.
That would be fun, though. That would be fun.
Yeah. Well, Jack, we appreciate you jumping on board before you have the call tonight here on WSBT, 6:40 pregame, 7 o'clock opening tip. I hope this game doesn't matter. I think they're in the field now, but it would not hurt to pick up one more victory. So have some fun tonight.
Well, you know what? It's a play-in game because you do know they win, they're in. And again, if you turn the clock back, I remember when they told me that Bonzi broke his foot. I was worried, how are they going to make the NIT? I never thought they'd make the NCAA. And they put themselves back in position. So let's throw the balls up and let's go.
Very good. Jack, thanks for doing this. We'll see you when you get back in town.
My pleasure. All right.
All righty.
Bye-bye, guys.
Voice of the Irish, Jack Nolan, joining us from the Barclays Center. It's Notre Dame and the Dukies coming up tonight at 7 o'clock here on WSBT Radio. Maybe the FBI investigation will show some proof that Duke doesn't care about defense. Maybe they're just out there, quote-unquote, recruiting offensive players. They're on that list of FBI teams.
Oh, that'd well, be great they're very they good offensively,
busted.
Though.
You know what? How many people across the country would be happy if they got busted? The smugness of Coach K?
I don't know. I'm staying out of that one.
No, I'll take the heat for that one. Well, Eric will tell you what's coming up in the Tribune in 1 minute here on WSBT. Eric, what's coming up in the Tribune tomorrow?
Well, we'll have Notre Dame's quarterfinal men's basketball game against Duke in the ACC tournament. Notre Dame hockey feature from Finn. We have a fishing report. Andy recruiting Max Dugan, quarterback visiting from Tyler. Brandywine boys basketball and much, much more.
Tom Noy joins me next. Eric, thank you. Tom, WSBT South Bend.
Michiana's sports leader, 96.1 FM, WSBT presents Budweiser's weekday sports beat.
Booger, up and in! With 2 seconds left, Notre Dame leads!
Malpas again, backhands, he scores!
Down to the corner, Jablonski, three is good!
Andrew steps in, he's going to throw deep for T.Y., he's got it!
Flips to Jenkins, three for the win, it's good! Villanova wins it!
He tied, it is
touchdown! New England wins!
Adios! Cubs win their ninth in a row!
Miles Boykin is in the end zone!
The Irish have come back!
Your hosts are Tom Noy and Darren Pritchett.
Anything you'd like to say starting off?
I got nothing.
All right. He's Tom, I'm Darren.
Just rev me up, point me in the direction on a microphone, and tell me when it's 6:37 when I can get out of here and we can get the pregame show.
Big time onions!
Raft.
All right. Sports be brought to you by Budweiser and Notre Dame Hockey. 7 minutes after 6 o'clock, 53 minutes until the Dukies and the Irish. Man-to-man. From Brooklyn, although Duke will be probably playing zone most of the ball game. And you know what? Notre Dame probably will, too, to save some energy.
And a show of hands from our listeners out there, if we could see you. How many of you thought last night it was over? It was done. They were done.
I mean, Jack Nolan admitted early in the second half, and I was in my car, actually, at that point, driving home. He was starting the obituary.
The body language. The body language, the shot selection, everything told you that they were totally out of gas. But
then,
ye of little faith, the comeback begins. And Virginia Tech, let's be honest, Notre Dame, great comeback.
Jack and threes. Right?
But Virginia Tech quit playing.
Dumb.
And once that ball started rolling, they talk about the technical foul being the key turning point. I think the turning point was when Notre Dame, bang, 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 three threes in a row. Gibbs, Farrell, Colson, they scored 9 points in like a minute. And I think it just jumped off the rails for Virginia Tech, and they had no idea how to get it back on.
They just started jacking threes.
Yeah. They just stopped playing.
Yeah.
They stopped playing. Like, it was, okay, we're up 21. I'm going to do this. Everybody stepped out of character. They started jacking threes. They didn't defend. Notre Dame hits a couple shots. And when they get rolling in that building, good luck trying to stop them.
The Fonzie jumped the shark moment on Twitter last night is when someone said the Irish should look at Buzz Williams when Mike Bray retires.
Are you kidding
me? That'd be like hiring Bobby Petrino for football.
Are you kidding me?
I was like, we're in trouble. But then the Irish storm back and the rest is history.
They're up 21, and somebody comments to me on my Twitter feed, you know, when Mike Bray leaves, Buzz Williams should be a guy they should look at. Why now? Okay, How excited would you be about Buzz Williams now after you blow a 21-point lead?
He left Marquette so he could recruit anybody he wants at Virginia Tech.
Right. He doesn't have to worry about any sort of academic restrictions to a point at Virginia Tech. But if he wants to get healthy and get old in a hurry, he can go get himself a couple of junior college players. Can't do that at Notre Dame. So,
okay, so the Irish win 71-65 over Virginia Tech. Now they take on Duke. It seemed like they've been playing for a week and they're only in the quarterfinals. You know, it's tough, man, when you got to go through a couple of games just to get to the quarterfinal. All right, so many people thought going into last night, if Notre Dame wins, they're in. Now, looking at all the bracketology, that has not played out as of yet. And I don't want to be Debbie Downer. I'm just trying to provide the numbers. If you look at Notre Dame, again, they're only 19-13 in the committee's eyes. You lose a win from Chaminade.
Right. Chaminade's a Division II team, so that does not count on a resume.
Their RPI is 64. Their strength of schedule is 54. That's okay. Here's what's interesting. Against the RPI top 25, they're 1-7.
Yes.
Against the top 50, they're 3-8. Against the top 100, they're 8-10. And against the top 150, this is an awful number.
It is.
They're 8-12. But here's the thing that we also have to point out. If all the talking heads on TV know what they're talking about, and sometimes I wonder.
Sometimes they don't.
So please take this with a grain of salt.
Right.
There is a perception that the committee will use the eyeball test more on Notre Dame than maybe some other teams because you have to factor in for 15 games, they did not have a first-team All-American on their squad. And since Bonzi returned, they played good basketball. Now, let me put an asterisk by that. Now, you can yell at me if I'm being unfair. But in 40 of the last 60 minutes, they have not played very good basketball. No. They have not looked like what Mike Bray calls a top 20 team or even a top 68 team. But that 20 minutes in the second half last night, particularly the last 15, was spectacular. I think the eyeball test, Tom,
gets them in the tournament, and I think there's going to be a lot of people ticked off that don't make it when they look at those analytical numbers I just read off.
The talking heads on TV that have to kill time just automatically say Notre Dame should be in. They don't back it up with a lot of data. And all we're doing right now, Darren, is giving our we're just giving our listeners the reference points and backing up the numbers. You look at the hard numbers across the board. You know, we're not saying Notre Dame shouldn't be in, or we don't want Notre Dame to be in. We're saying look at the numbers, and there are not many numbers, if any, that jump off the page and scream NCAA tournament team. Now, when you go to the eyeball test, absolutely they deserve to be in. But if you're going to just judge teams with the eyeball test, you're opening yourself. The NCAA is opening itself up to a pretty shaky precedent here.
Well, two things. Number one, I'm bringing up these numbers because many fans might be wondering. Everybody said if we win two games, we're in. Well, right now they're not in all these bracketologies. So I'm trying to offer analysis to why that has not happened yet.
And pump the brakes on the two-win thing because one of the wins was against Pittsburgh.
Right.
You, me, Jerry, and two guys in the newsroom could go out and give Pittsburgh a game. That Pittsburgh game really doesn't count. Like you had to beat Pittsburgh. It was like an automatic win. I think Ken Pomeroy ran a simulation of 10,000 times, or maybe it was even 100,000 simulations, and Notre Dame came up a winner against Pittsburgh every time. So scratch Pittsburgh. It's really Virginia Tech and Duke. You win tonight, they're in. Just win, and then that's it.
I thought you were going to say you and I could coach Pittsburgh better than Kevin Stallings, who was let go today.
He's no longer the coach at Pittsburgh.
He got $9 million to walk away.
The school
$9 million.
The school wanted to give him a paltry 6.5, and he fought him on it. Those were the two most miserable years of his life. Probably it was the worst hire they could possibly do. He had to leave. There was no choice. So we'll see where Pittsburgh goes from there. But back to tonight, I am on record with the folks over at Notre Dame as saying when I walked out of Cameron Indoor Stadium that night in late January. And Notre Dame had lost by 22, their most lopsided league loss of the season, I believe. I said if Notre Dame had Matt Farrell and Bonzi Colson, they win that game.
Ooh.
So I think they win. I think they win tonight. I was not impressed with the Duke big men at Cameron Indoor Stadium. Wendell Carter, he played all right. But Marvin Bagley, everybody thought Marvin Bagley was going to go for like 37 points and 27 rebounds. John Mooney played pretty well. He eventually fouled out in 25 minutes.
River.
Marvin Bagley played 34 minutes on his home court against the Irish and had 12 points and 8 rebounds. Those are okay numbers. So, everything's a factor tonight. Fatigue, this, that. But I think Notre Dame just rides the momentum that... If Notre Dame had been up 21 points and had to fight to the end and beat Virginia Tech last night, I think fatigue and dead legs are a problem. You erase a 21-point lead in that building in that manner, and you feel like you can take on anybody. Bring on Virginia. Bring on Villanova. Bring on Xavier. That's the way I think the Irish feel because that's how they played last year at this time. Remember, they played 3 games in 3 nights last year. They got to the championship game. And then what happened a week later when they went to Buffalo? They were done. They were running on empty. They were running on fumes because they had laid it all out there in the ACC tournament.
You heard it here first. The Irish will ride the momentum to victory tonight.
Ride the hot player.
Not that.
Have you ever been ridden?
Come on, Raft. No, Notre Dame will win tonight, and the South Bend Tribune will be on a morning flight into Gotham on Friday, hopefully. If all works out.
I'm sure that'll be cheap.
It's
Your techniques?
I have a canceled flight that got the infamous de-icing. Running out the de-icing fuel, de-icing fluid at Midway Airport cost me the trip to Chapel Hill. I'm still trying to figure that one out. And we can get you there on Tuesday morning. Sorry, I have to be there at 7 o'clock on Monday for a basketball game. So we'll see.
Okay, so here's what Mike Bray, the head coach of the Fighting Irish, had to say last night after Notre Dame stormed back to beat Virginia Tech. And, of course, people wanted to talk about the Irish. Are you now in the NCAA tournament?
You know, I've never been a big guy to campaign, but I think we really deserve to be in. And I don't want to hear about one of the best 68. When I have my guys back, we're a top 20 team. And I think people in that committee know that. So I feel strongly that we should be part of it. We have another great opportunity to end all the drama of it tomorrow night. But we need to get some rest.
I agree with the second part. I love you, Mike, but you've been campaigning the last month for your team. And you, remember, put me in Dayton, baby.
And you know what? If you have to campaign at this time of year,
you're nervous.
You probably know what the end result is going to be.
Oh.
Or you fear what the end result is going to be.
Mm.
So, yeah, I mean, Mike Bray, where do we sign up for Dayton? We'll go to the playing game. I'll bring donuts. If they're going to Dayton next week, I'll be the first one to text Mike Bray and say, where are the donuts? He said he was bringing donuts for the media. He'd drive there. He'd get there early. He'd be even more accessible than what he is already. So we're going to hold his feet to that fire if we wind up going to UD Arena for the playing game next week.
You know people in Dayton. You should get everything free.
It's been a long time, Darren.
Now their basketball season ended abruptly today, so they're looking for something to do. All right, so then earlier this morning on WSBT Radio, Golic and Wingo, Mike Golic, Notre Dame alum, cornered Joe Lenardi, Mr. Bracketology, because the Irish were still in the first four out even after beating Virginia Tech, and here was their conversation.
Joe, come on, man, with Bonzi Colson back, what are they now, 13-4, 14-4, one of the top 15 teams, maybe in the country, 20 teams, so just so I know, are you saying they have to beat Duke to get in, or a good showing can get them in?
I think a good showing can get them in. If I were in the room, I'd have them in already under the simple common sense logic that, as you said, this is, at worst, a top 20 team, maybe close to a top 10 team with Bonzi. And I go back to how they were evaluated with Bonzi prior to his injury. And at one point, coming out of Maui and into pre-conference, they got as high as a 2 seed. I don't know how you can evaluate them as a non-tournament team with this roster. I just have to factor in what I believe the committee will do relative to all of the other moving parts in all of the other leagues.
Mr. Noy, your thoughts on that analysis?
Okay. I understand that they were a 2 seed at one point, and they were the fifth-ranked team in the country at one point.
But
nobody is talking about the two big check marks besides my man Darren Pritchett over here.
Gosh.
Yes, they're... I get it, Mike Bray. You're a top 20 team with your guys back, but that same group with Matt Farrell and Bonzi Colson lost at home to Ball State, which, by the way, lost in the MAC tournament today to Kent State, and lost to Indiana. They lost a 16-point lead at the, quote, neutral site of Bankers Life Fieldhouse.
What is Indiana's RPI?
119. Ball State's is 109.
They're not even going to the NIT.
You have three losses of 109 or greater. Or is it less? In the RPI, right. Indiana, Ball State, Georgia Tech. Notre Dame, again, from a sentimental pick, and I cannot reiterate this enough, every radio interview that I've done and will do between now and Sunday, from a sentimental pick, Notre Dame deserves to be in the field of 68. But if you look at the hard numbers, and that's what the committee is going to go on, it's hard to really make a strong case for Notre Dame based on their numbers, based on their resume. You know what? Even without Bonzi Colson, if you're an NCAA tournament team, you do not lose at home to Virginia Tech. You don't lose at home to North Carolina. You don't lose at home to Miami. And you don't lose at home to Louisville. You had to get at least one of those. And then you also had to get back the Ball State and Indiana games somewhere along the line. They never really got those back.
And, Tom, let's look ahead. If they lose to Duke tonight, their record against ACC teams with a winning record, would it be 2-10?
It would be 2-9.
2-9.
With winning records. Now, 500, it would be something, I think, if you stretch that out over teams that finished 500 or better, it would be 3-10.
So I think it's important to point out these things in case Notre Dame doesn't make it. I want Irish fans to understand some of these numbers that kept them out. But again, I think we both have the feeling the eyeball test is going to override some of these numbers, and they're going to get into the field. Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening, when they announce the field, the show starts at 6.
And we need to talk about how they're going to do it this year, too.
Right. Starts at 6, and they're going to announce them all right away. So we'll know by 6:15. But either way, when we're sitting over at Notre Dame watching that selection show, I will not be stunned if they're in, and I will not be stunned when they're out. There's really no middle ground as far as, boy, I can't believe they got in, or I can't believe they got out. Either way this thing falls, it's going to be like, all right, they got in because of the eyeball test. Mm-hmm. All right, they're out because they didn't do enough during the regular season. It's that simple.
Yeah. And we should tell you, they're doing it differently this year. They are going to announce the field of 68 by automatic bursts, alphabetical order, and then at-large bursts, alphabetical order. Then they're going to go back and show the brackets. So you're going to know whether Notre Dame is in or not in the first, well, I hope 15 minutes.
I think they said it would be within 10 or 15 minutes.
Okay. Then you have to wait to see what the bracket is. So I don't know why you mess with one of the great traditions. You find out as the brackets come out if your team made it or not. I don't understand.
Well, they did it right last year after getting everything screwed up the year before, where it was where they wound up, that was the year where they wound up having the leak brackets.
Yeah.
And we found out they were going to Brooklyn to play the play-in game winner in the first round because it had taken so long. So they rectified that problem. Last year, it was smooth. It rolled and everything was fine. Let's try to do it differently. Different doesn't always work. Just roll through the brackets in a timely manner, and then you can have your discussions. Because I could not care less what Kenny Smith and Charles Barkley and that group has to say, because they know nothing about college basketball. They have not watched one college basketball game since they were at the Final Four last year, and they're going to tell us what they feel about the field? Come on.
Well, we have an outlet for you. WSBT Westwood One will have the selection show from 6 to 8 on Sunday. If you want to turn down the volume on Terrible and Kenny, we have another option for you here on WSBT. Tom Noy, Darren Pritchett with you. It is 6:24, Irish pregame at 6:40, opening tip at 7. Let's step aside for just a second. We'll continue talking bubble madness as SportsBeat continues. 96.1 WSBT. I think it is worth noting.
Yes.
Did you notice how many times Virginia Tech went to the free throw line last night?
9 times. 9 times.
Irish were 21 of 25. The Hokies, 7 of 9.
Stop
That's what
playing.
Happens when you shoot 33-point shots.
When you stop playing and stop doing what got you the 21-point lead, they tried to take the air out of the ball and just kind of stand around, lost their rhythm, and Notre Dame found theirs.
And the rest is history.
There you go.
History in the making. Quick SportsCenter update, Notre Dame and Duke tonight. Irish playing their third game in 3 days. January 29th, the Irish lost at Duke 88-66. No Bonzi Colson, no Matt Farrell, out with injuries. Earlier today, the ACC tournament, the top seed, Virginia, defeated Louisville 75-58. Louisville in?
Yes.
Thank you. Number 4, Clemson, held on to beat the 12 seed Boston College 90-82. Clemson dangerous in the tournament?
I would stay far away from Clemson.
There you go. And we've got the Irish and Duke, followed by the 3 seed Miami taking on the 6 seed North Carolina. And the winner will be?
North Carolina.
Thank you very much.
3 for 3, baby.
You can hear the ACC tournament semifinals tomorrow on WSBT Radio. Coverage starts at 6:30. So we will have Virginia and Clemson in game number 1, who will be in game number 2? Tom Noy believes it's going to be Notre Dame and North Carolina.
I want to go to Barclays Center and see Notre Dame and the Tar Heels.
Again.
Make up for the game that I lost in Chapel Hill.
And there were some questionable calls down the stretch at Purcell Pavilion.
Yeah.
Some would argue, including our friend Jack Nolan in the first hour of the program. And TJ Gibbs, that ball was bouncing on the rim, would not go, unfortunately, for the Fighting Irish. So Bagley is back, the big guy, the freshman for Duke. He has played 3 games since going down with an injury. Had 21-15 against North Carolina at Cameron to wrap up the ACC regular season. They've got a big front line. Can the Irish use that to their advantage on the offensive end? That's what I want to know. Let those guys run around and chase you a little bit?
Yeah. Not. They're not. I don't know how much chasing they're going to do in their zone. Like they're gonna be play like Syracuse. They're gonna sit in the zone and force Notre Dame to make shots over the top. If Matt Ferrell is shooting the way he did it, say at Boston College when he hit 10 three-pointers, that's good news. TJ Gibbs, if he's playing the way he did late in the game on Wednesday, that's good news. But I don't know how much they're gonna be able to pound the ball inside to maybe Martin Gebben or John Mooney. Or get much around the bucket because you have Wendell Carter and Marvin Bagley, and then they also come with Marquise Bolden. So it remains to be seen.
Tom, I assume there's going to be times, maybe more times than not, Notre Dame goes to zone to save energy.
You're going to have to save legs. And they'll go to zone when you have to bring in Austin Torres to steal Bonzi Colson some minutes heading into a TV timeout. And then also Nick Jogo. Like, right there on Twitter last night with the Buzz Williams question was, why is Nick Jogo playing? Because Notre Dame has seven guys. You can't ride your five guys 40 minutes. You've got to steal some. You've got to get something from Jogo and Torres off the bench and John Mooney.
I'm shocked Mooney was not in there and Torres was. I thought you would. That ball screen up top, it offers you a chance for Mooney to come off that screen and hit an outside shot. I just thought it gave you more offensive opportunities.
You know why John Mooney has not seen the court maybe as much as some people have liked?
I'd love to know.
He doesn't defend well enough.
Well, I agree with that.
And Mike Bray says, here's what Mike Bray believes. This year, now this is only this year because it's all going to change when you've got this recruiting class coming in and guys get healthy and guys get eligible. But this year he looks and he says, I think we can get enough offense on the floor with Gibbs, Farrell, Colson, maybe a little bit of Pfluger, but then John Mooney's defense gives up so much. We can grin and bear it and have Austin Torres played really well defensively on Wednesday against Virginia Tech. Took a couple charges, got some rebounds. Defensively, that's why John Mooney is not on the floor as much as he should be.
I'm not arguing with you, but it is dangerous putting Torres on the floor late in games because let's go back to the Indiana game.
Don't! Why did you do that?
Because they might be in the tournament right now.
True.
That loss is looming right now.
Large. And even
you foul him.
And even when Notre Dame was trying to get back into the game, when it looked like it was going to jump off the rails yesterday, Torres got a pass underneath and fumbled it out of bounds.
Moving screen.
And got two of them, I think. Didn't he get two moving screens?
One might have been on Gebben.
Yeah, maybe Gebben got one, but yeah, Torres.
He took a charge.
He did take a charge, but it's just offensively.
But Rex should not have thrown it down, though, to him.
True.
To take some of the pressure off.
KYP, baby. Know your personnel.
Know your personnel. That's exactly right. Just for fun, we brought back a question I asked on Twitter in January. Which Notre Dame program would have the, quote-unquote, best ending to their season? Now, I say best ending because Notre Dame hockey's in the Sweet 16 making the tournament. Mm-hmm. The Notre Dame women, the Notre Dame men have to go a different road. Now, the women play at home, which is a little bit of an advantage for them the first two games. And in January, hockey was number one, men's hoops second, women's hoops third. I argued women's basketball should have been number one. That was after they lost to Louisville, though. So I think people jumped off the wagon.
They got whacked.
Today, the voting was 69% hockey, 23% women's basketball, 8% men's basketball. Hockey's got to play better. They haven't played well in 3 or 4 weeks, it's dangerous to pick them right now.
Tournament's coming. Second season's right there around the corner.
Their bracketology, they'd be lined up against Boston College in the first round.
You don't want that.
That's why I'm saying be careful picking that. Hockey.
My man, Jerry York.
Women's basketball will be in the Sweet 16, guaranteed.
Book it.
Notre Dame hockey and Notre Dame women's basketball will be in the Sweet 16, so there's your starting point.
Will the Notre Dame men?
If they get in, there's going to be a lot of nervous people that are 4 and 5 seeds. Or maybe a 6 seed. Who knows?
I know we're getting way ahead of ourselves.
If they get in.
But all the politicking that Mike Bray is doing, that may or may not work. And if it doesn't work, man, you've got a lot of damage control to do in a short period of time to get these guys back once they go to the NIT.
I don't want to have that conversation.
Just keep that in mind.
I think
we do agree about the NIT.
We do.
There are others close to the Notre Dame basketball program that don't agree with us.
Bonzi
with the NIT
and Farrell, for what they have done, do not deserve to end their careers in that tournament. That's just how I feel.
They went to
it's
the
out of respect.
They went to the Elite Eight two of the last 3 years. And how do you sell the NIT? It's a hard sell. It's a hard sell.
This time of the year, there are a couple of three initial things that I'm not a big fan of. There's one in April. IRS.
Oh, ouch.
And then NIT.
IRS and NIT.
I don't know which is better.
How about SNO? Snow. Okay. You're not a good big fan of snow after that weather forecast that they played. Mr. Baseball, you're already transitioning to baseball over there on me.
Notre Dame basketball just showed they're wearing their navy blues tonight with the gold trim.
They're lucky. It's their lucky blue. You know.
They get into jerseys more than any team I have seen. They have records for what
they do.
Jersey
breakdown.
They wear. I mean, they get into jerseys.
They win with the blues. They stay with the blues. They get blown out in the blue. Then it's going to be like, all right, we got to go to gold or maybe even the greens.
All right, so you got the Irish winning tonight.
I think I do. I think.
How about you?
I think it's just. Yeah, three games in three nights. Duke is not the same Duke when you don't have the whole aura of Cameron Indoor Stadium, where they just feed off that crowd.
St. John's.
There you go, St. John's. How motivated are they going to be? How interested are they going to be? This is new territory for Wendell Carter, Marvin Bagley, and Trayvon Duval, and Gary Trent right on down the line. They've never played in an ACC tournament. This is old hat for Notre Dame with Bonzi Colson and Matt Farrell.
Sports Beat brought to you by Budweiser. Great times are waiting. Grab some buds in Notre Dame hockey. They host the Big Ten Tournament semifinals Saturday against Penn State. Get your tickets at UND.com. We have about 50 seconds left.
We got to go.
And I know Eric asked you this last night. Let me update the question and allow you to update the answer. How close Notre Dame plays tonight, does it affect their NCAA tournament status after what you saw last night?
I don't think so, because even if they get blown out, that's three games in three nights for Notre Dame. They're running on fumes.
Thank you, sir. I enjoyed it.
You got it, my man. See ya.
I hope you're in Brooklyn.
I do, too. I'm going to go home and pack right now.
Are you really?
I need to.
You're not going
to
be superstitious. When does the flight leave?
If I'm leaving, it's 6 a.m. tomorrow morning out of Midway, so I'm making a midnight run to Chicago.
Big time onions!
Thanks, Raft.
Tom, thanks for doing this. Appreciate it.
Got it.
That's Tom Noy. I'm Darren Pritchett. Irish basketball against the Dukies coming up next on 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader.